no cook soup. It's possible, and we're making one on today's program.
We sure are, and the Master Stroke is also back to take us on an artistic journey through the story of David and Goliath, and Jamie George is back with music.
Plus, John Bradshaw joins us to share a moving devotional.
Don't go anywhere, friends.
Good morning and happy middle of the week. It's a middle of the week day already. And did you know that today is National Veggie Burger Day?
I love veggie burgers.
You know, who doesn't like a good burger, right? Well, veggie burgers are a healthy and delicious alternative to traditional burgers. So gather your loved ones around today and enjoy a veggie burger meal as you discover new flavors and ways to keep optimum health.
That's a great idea. And friends, we cannot wait to start our program with you this morning and share with you the fire that burns within our own hearts.
So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 2004, Ronald Wilson Reagan, the 40th president of the United States, lost the battle against Alzheimer's disease and died. Along with being a president, Reagan was also known as an actor and served as the governor of California. Reagan was known as a strong leader, but he had enemies from the beginning as he was shot less than 3 months after taking office.
You know, friends, it's an unfortunate circumstance that we must all face in this life. Enemies, sickness, and ultimately death. Yet what a hope and blessing it is to know that we can look forward to a day when none of that will ever exist again. It may be hard for us to wrap our minds around it, but God has promised in John chapter 3, verse 16, that Jesus died so that whosoever believes in him could have everlasting life. And as we choose to believe in him and follow how he and where he guides us, we can be sure that eternal life awaits us. So friends, the question I have for you today is, won't you choose to believe and follow him right now?
Amen. I want to do that today.
Amen.
Well, it's time to make no cook soup. The Healthy Foodie is here to teach us what to do to make this healthy and delicious soup.
On today's episode of Master Stroke, we take an artistic journey through the popular story of David and Goliath.
Caravaggio made a real mess of his life. He started off well, but then became proud, arrogant. He even murdered a man. The gruesome painting, David with the Head of Goliath, was painted by Caravaggio in 1610. David has just killed Goliath. The head of Goliath is in mid-screen, and blood is spurting from the neck. David is lifting up the head by his hair. But I want you to notice something. The victor is not joyous or jumping up and down in celebration. If anything, David has a demure, sad look on his face. You may even think he's compassionate and sorry for what he's done. Why? Because the head of Goliath is none other than Caravaggio's. It's a self-portrait. Look how tragic this face is and how lost he'd become. On the sword that kills Goliath is the abbreviated Latin inscription Hassos. The meaning in English? Humility kills pride. But there's another aspect of this painting that's relevant. David himself is most likely a self-portrait of Caravaggio when he was young.
Follow me down, there is somewhere I want to go.
We see the young Caravaggio looking pensively at the wreck he made of his own life. The Bible says, pride precedes destruction, an arrogant spirit appears before a fall. Like Caravaggio, David had major issues with sin. He committed adultery, and then he murdered the husband of his new lover. But there was a big difference between David and Caravaggio. Caravaggio fled Rome and tried every trick in the book to escape his sin. David, on the other hand, humbled himself and repented. This isn't just a painting about David and Goliath. This is a painting about life. And the key message is a question. What have I made of my life? The good news is this. No matter how far you've fallen, you don't need to run from God like Caravaggio. You can run to God like David.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay connected with us. When we return, we will have music by Jamie George. We'll be right back.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, God was here before the world began. These are some of the lyrics of the song, Above All. Renowned violinist Jamie George now joins us this morning and he plays the beautiful tune.
Thank you.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
And when we return, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will share a thoughtful message from the Bible with us.
How are you enjoying our program this morning, friends? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a message from the Bible.
Hey there, John Bradshaw from It Is Written. Great to see you. I hope your day is going really well. If it's not, let's see if we can turn that around in the next few minutes or so. I want to look with you at a really interesting Bible story. You go back to the Old Testament, and some of those stories are fascinating. Lots of detail, lots of drama. There's a lot going on. And in 1 Kings chapter 13, there's a ton going on. The king of Israel is a man named Jeroboam. Now, he was just a step or so removed from Solomon, you understand. So this is in the early days of the divided kingdom. He was the king of Israel, and honestly, he could have been a better fellow. So here's what God said. God predicted that there would be a king come along whose name was Josiah. Interestingly, God made that prediction long before Josiah was born, helping us to understand that the word of God can be understood. Along came Jeroboam, acting in a way that he shouldn't have, and as a result of an action by the divine, Jeroboam's hand was, in the words of the Bible, withered. I suppose that means crippled in some way, but a withered hand. Along came a prophet who prayed to God, and Jeroboam's hand was healed. You'd think as a result of that, he would have a change of heart. But how often do we experience the blessings of Almighty God and not have a change of heart? That was Jeroboam. So, prophet did his job. He came down there. He prophesied, prayed for the king. And God had told him, when you've done your business there, go home. Don't stop. Don't go to anybody's house. Don't eat. Don't drink. And make sure you come home by a different road than the one you went. The prophet got the memo, understood the word of God, and he was about to do what he was supposed to do. The king said to him, "You've done such a good thing. Come home with me, and I will feed you and I will honor you." And the prophet, whose name we don't know, interestingly enough, the prophet said, "Even if you would give me half of your house, I wouldn't go home with you," which is a really bold thing for a prophet to say to a king. But he was bold and he told him straight, not going to do it. So off he went. It was heard by a man who described himself as a prophet that the prophet was leaving town. And he sent his son out there and said, "Hey, bring the man back to our place." When he made the overture, issued the invitation, the prophet, the genuine prophet, said, "No, no, can't do it. Can't do it. I've got to do what I got to do, and God has told me to do it this way." So this man approaches the young man and says, "I too am a prophet, and an angel has told me that you are to come to my home and eat." Now, if I told you an angel has come to me from God and has told me to tell you this and that, you know, probably get your attention. It would probably get your attention. But I tell you what, you've got to be really careful. There are deceptions everywhere. There's only one Bible. There's only one ultimate authority, and that's the Word of God. Our friend the prophet had heard the word of God. Go down there, discharge your duty, get out of there, don't stay to eat or drink or be entertained in anybody's home, and come home by a different road than the one you went. He heard that. To the extent that to the king he said no. To the second overture he said no. But then to the third overture, we're not told why he went. But you know what the devil did as he tried? He tried again, and he tried again. The devil doesn't easily take no for an answer, and he keeps on pressing and he keeps on tempting. And the only safety in that temptation is fidelity to the word of God. He will tempt. It's up to you to say, not happening. Here, the prophet was invited back to the man's home and he went. What a mistake. Unfortunately, many people, I might even say most people, have a buying price. Let's go to the bar and get drunk. You might say, no. But somebody says, come to the bar, I'd like you to meet my friend. You might say, yes. You see, first it was no, sweeten the deal, and then it becomes yes. Not everybody drifts away from God or dedicates themselves to a life contrary to God's will simply because they're mean-spirited or hateful or angry or ugly. Often they're induced. An overture is made, an invitation is extended, and then that is sweetened a little bit, sweetened a little bit. I mean, it's a bit like an auction. You're not going to sell until you can be pretty sure you're going to get the highest price. And often, that's what we do spiritually. Sell out to the highest bidder. An angel? You see, this man said, I too am a prophet. Well, he was right, he was a prophet. But he was a false prophet. He was a false prophet. Your responsibility today is to understand God's will for your life and follow that. Oh, but I don't know all of God's will. Fine. Do something about what you know of the little of God's will for your life. And what you do know is you have the Word of God and you want to take your direction from that. What ended up happening is that the prophet was at the lying prophet's house. The lying prophet then said, you're in for it. The judgment of God is against you. The young man left and he was attacked by a lion and died. And when they found him, the lion was standing there, the man's donkey was standing there, and there was the poor man's dead body, and the lying prophet ended up burying the man. I wonder, what would it take you to turn you away from the will of God for your life? And I'm talking about the plainly revealed will of God for your life. Hopefully you would say, by the grace of God, absolutely nothing. You and I are both in the midst of a great controversy. There's a battle between good and evil playing out. God wants you to be saved. The devil wants you to be lost. Not so much because he cares about you or hates you, but he hates God and wants to cause pain to the heart of God. And you being lost would bring immense pain to the heart of God. Certainly the devil wants to rob you of a great amount of joy. And the devil is sweetening his offer every day. Would it be popularity? Would it be fame? Would you do something ridiculous in order to get so many likes or clicks on some kind of social media thing? Is it money you're after? If you cut these corners, if you do these compromises, it might be money. I don't know. We could go through a list like that, couldn't we? But this is the nature of temptation. God says, this is the way, walk in that. Jesus says, follow me. And the devil says, I got an alternative suggestion for you. Back in the Garden of Eden, has God said you shall not eat from that tree? Eve said, that's right. God said I shouldn't eat the fruit. In fact, she said, God said I shouldn't touch it. And the devil came right along behind her and said, oh, no, no. What God said is not true. So let me share with you something today. What God said is true. We learn from this story. Just stick with the Word of God. Don't let temptation lead you this way or that way. You pray Jesus will live his life in you today, and he will be able to keep you in the precise path God has for your life today. Great to see you. Have a great day today. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And thank you, friends, for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We will have a special feature on parenting and another inspiring Reflections of Hope episode. And we'll be making spring rolls and tuning in as Dr. John Peckham shares on knowing God. We can't wait to see you tomorrow.
And if you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, that's hope.study. You will be blessed and encouraged.
And before we go, we have a Bible promise for you today. And today's Bible promise comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34.
It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
It's a sure promise, friends. You know, God will give us strength to get through each day as it comes. So today, leave tomorrow in his hands and walk today with God.
Amen. Well, we pray you have a wonderful Wednesday and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, how good it is to be able to start the day for many of us with this wonderful message of hope. If others are going through the middle of the day, or some maybe even coming towards the end of the day, we give you glory. We give you praise, for you have been good. Your goodness endures forever. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we walk by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.